Okay, so verse 56.
Though the wish for happiness is great, I do not seek its conditions, the merits. Though having little endurance for hardship, I am rife with greed, the dark craving. Dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception. Mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. Okay, so now we're starting into a whole series of verses in which Dharma Rakshita is pointing out again and again all of our bad habits. Okay, so he spares nothing. So if you see yourself here, just know that probably everybody else does too. That is, they see themselves and they also see you. Because, I mean, we can see each other's faults, can't we? You know, we try and, you know, hide all of our mistakes, all of our, you know, things that we're ashamed of, that we don't like about ourselves. And everybody else knows them, you know? So, who in the world are we trying to fool? Okay, so the wish for happiness is great, but I do not seek its conditions, the merits. So we all want to be happy, right? We want pleasure, you know, happiness in this life. We want the four good worldly concerns. We want to be away from the four nasty ones. But we don't want to create the cause for them. Because creating the cause is kind of a pain in the neck. It's like you have to be aware of what you're thinking, and you have to be mindful of your precepts, and you have to restrain yourself from blurting out whatever, you know, comes into your mind, and you can't run after all the pleasures, and, you know, so it's a real pain in the neck creating the cause for happiness, but boy, we want it, right? You know, and we so little like to create the cause that we develop a worldview that says, but the world owes me happiness. It's like we don't even think, oh, I have to create the cause for it. We just think the world owes it to me. Why? Because I'm me. And I'm American. I'm from the best country in the world. The world, you know? I should have everything at my fingertips. Doesn't matter how much the rest of the planet suffers. Doesn't matter if I'm wasting resources. Doesn't matter if I'm polluting the earth. You know, I should have whatever I want whenever I want it. But don't ask me to, you know, create the causes by keeping ethical discipline and being generous and being patient and, you know, not winning every argument and, you know. So you see, my mind's kind of funny, isn't it? It's contradictory. Okay, though having little endurance for hardship, I am rife with greed, the dark craving. Okay, so lots of greed. Yeah, we want this, we want this, we need this, we need that. But no endurance for hardship. So again, this feeling of entitlement. You know, the world owes me something. I have a lot of greed, a lot of attachment, a lot of longing, a lot of yearning. All my needs, my physical needs, my emotional needs, my spiritual needs, all my needs that are me, that have to be fulfilled, that I'm going to crumble up to the ground if my needs aren't fulfilled, and they're my right for my needs to be fulfilled. But we have no endurance to undergo anything, you know, to create the cause for happiness. You know, we're really kind of spoiled, don't you think? You know, I think maybe even more so than previous generations. I mean, we always, you know, look at our parents and na-na-na-na-na, but I don't know about you, my parents grew up during the Depression. I mean, they had some endurance to go through hardship as kids. They learned as kids they couldn't get everything they wanted. You know, and I remember my grandma telling me that lots of times she would pretend that she had already eaten so that she could give the food to my dad and his brother because they didn't have enough food, you know. I mean, they went through hardships for each other. But now it's like, you know, we can't miss a small meal, and we have to have exactly what we want and as much as we want and the right flavor. And, you know, we yell and scream if it isn't just so. But then, you know, in terms of creating the karmic cause for things, you know, we don't want to give anything up. Yeah? You know, give charity so other people can have food. Huh? So you know, we're really rather spoiled. And even though we may talk about, oh, let's not pollute the environment, and, you know, America's using its disproportionate share of its resources, what do? You know, we don't recycle our stuff. You know, we jump in the car and drive for hours and hours, even though we could have taken public transportation or carpooled. You know, so we talk about preserving the environment, but just the smallest thing that inhibits our own personal freedom, we don't want to give up. You know, we want to ride in our own car, you know, because then we have the freedom. We don't have to wait 15 minutes for somebody else. We can just go when we want to. Yeah? So you know, there's a lot of principles that we really don't live in accordance with. You know, even though we might talk about them, or, you know, criticize the president for, you know, wanting to drill in the tundra, but who's the one who drives the cars? We do. And we don't want to cut back on driving our car. No, we want to have nice big cars or trucks or whatever. It doesn't matter, the gas mileage. You know, so we're not always living our principles. Yeah, very, very little endurance for any kind of hardship. I mean, as if carpooling were a great hardship. And that's what I mean by, you know, how our mind always, you know, hardship is very specific to the individual, because, you know, for some people, I mean, carpooling is tremendous hardship. I mean, what impingement on their freedom. For other people, having a car is beyond their wildest dreams, you know. Anyway, what causes all this? Self-centeredness. Okay, so that's why we have dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception, mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. Okay, so the false conceptions that lie behind the conception of inherent existence, grasping at it, the false conception that we're the most important one in the world. Okay, so mortally strike at the heart of this butcher. So remember, the butcher is the self-centeredness, the heart of it is the self-grasping, and mortally strike at it means forever, get rid of it, you know. Not just subdue it a little bit so it can come back later, but really get rid of it, because it's the real enemy. Okay, verse 51. Though desiring immediate results, my efforts to achieve them are feeble. Though pursuing many tasks, I never complete a single one. Dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception. Mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. So, though desiring immediate results, my efforts to achieve them are feeble. Okay? So, when we sit down to study, we expect to become a great learned sage right away. We sit down to do meditation retreat, we should have a vision of the deity. You know, we start doing the breathing meditation, we expect to have single-pointed concentration. You know, we want immediate results from anything we do. You know, we finally gave a gift to somebody. You know, what great bodhicitta we have. We don't even know the definition of bodhicitta, but we think that's it. And then when the person doesn't say thank you, I mean, forget it. now. We start regretting that we even gave them a gift or even that we knew them. Okay. So, though desiring immediate results, my efforts to achieve them are feeble. So again, it's that, you know, we want great things, you know, in our worldly life, and we want great things in our spiritual life, but we don't want to, you know, create the causes to have them. You know, we don't want to sit and practice the Dharma for year after year after year, meditation session after session after session. No, we don't have time for that. You know, we're very busy people with very busy lives, very important. We need our single point of concentration right away, you know, so we can get on and live our life. Yeah? And we want to realize emptiness right away because we have a lot of things we need to do in our life. And we don't want to futz around with all this, you know, learning this text and learning that text and, you know, the four schools of philosophical thought and refuting them. You know, we just want to get rid of the I and you know, and then be able to have a good life. Okay, so very feeble efforts. Yeah, not willing to really put in the energy. I heard, I wasn't at this particular teaching of His Holiness's, but where was it? Somewhere in California, maybe? But, you know, there was a question from the audience, and it was like, what's the fastest way to enlightenment? And His Holiness started weeping because he said, you know, you people don't get it. You know, you're not willing to put in the energy to create the cause. Now, Milarepa, it wasn't just one lifetime, you know. He meditated many, many lifetimes. And then he told the story of how when Rachungpa, who was one of Jetsun Mila's disciples, was leaving Milarepa, Rachungpa said, you know, give me one last teaching. And Milarepa lifted his robe up and showed him the calluses on his tush, you know, meaning that you have to sit for a long time, you know. Yeah, it's not quick, cheap, and easy. And, you know, and His Holiness, it was just saying, because there's an audience in the West, you know, you people really don't, you're not getting it, and this is going to be your just hindrance on the spiritual path, is, you know, not having the long-term view and really willing to put in whatever it takes to get the results of enlightenment. Okay. Though pursuing many tasks, I never complete a single one. Okay, so this is in our worldly life as well as our Dharma life. Worldly life, you know, we start lots of things. How much stuff do you have lying around your house, projects that you've started doing that you are really going to do next weekend, and you've been really going to do them next weekend for a few years? Yeah? Go home and look. How many little projects you have you started that you haven't finished? Yeah? Or how many Dharma books have you started and you haven't finished? Or how many Dharma courses have you started, but, you know, you didn't finish? Okay. So, you know, or we start retreats and we can't finish them. We start learning a topic, we can't finish it. We volunteer to do things. You know, we come in with great, enthusiasm, can't complete what we volunteered to do. You know, so many unfinished things in our life, you know, except when it comes to getting pleasure. That we finish. Yeah. But, you know, so many things where it's just, you know, just loose threads and, you know, half done things kind of littered all over the place. Okay. Though we pursue tasks. Okay, so we're very knowledgeable, very eclectic. We learn so many different things, Yeah? But we never get anywhere. Now, we start one practice, get tired of that, to another practice, get tired of that, go on to a third one. You know, so you've started prostrations how many times? You know? And then, you know, you start your prostrations, you do them a few days. Too tired, my knees hurt, my back hurt. I'm going to do Vajrasattva. And you do Vajrasattva, maybe 3-4 days. Boring. You know, I want to do something else. So then you do mandala offerings. There's something to do with mandala offerings. You have all this rice. You do mandala offerings. And a few days, why am I doing this? This doesn't make sense. Let's do something else. Yeah. So, you know, we never finish the nundro. Yeah, even one of them. Yeah, it's always starting, stopping. Yeah. And yet, you know, we expect we should be enlightened very quickly. You know, realization of emptiness. I read one book about it. If I sit down to meditate, I'm going to realize it. We're so full of ourselves, aren't we? Just incredible. You know, and this is all self-centered mind. You know, it's just all self-centered mind pulling the wool over our eyes. You know, that's why it was called the thief and the demon and the enemy, because this is all self-centered mind that's leading us astray. So that's why it says, dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception, mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. It's like, let's realize what causes it. And, you know, dance on its head, beat it up, dance on its head.